welcome to VBAC Birth Stories, a podcast where Australians share their journey to a vaginal birth after cesarean.
We are a safe haven for women to share their own VBAC journeys and through these personal experiences, educate and empower listeners.
I'm your host, Mel.
And I'm your host, Steph. And this is VBAC Birth Stories.
Hi everyone, it's Mel here. Today I chat to my friend Kate, who I met at Mother's Group. She had an emergency cesarean under general anaesthetic with her eldest daughter, Elsie, and has since gone on to have two VBACs, one with Florence and another with George. The journey to conceive Florence wasn't an easy one. It took 6 years and with the aid of IVF. During her pregnancy with Florence, she was very undecided as to whether to pursue a VBAC or have a repeat cesarean. It was only at 36 weeks pregnant, through a chance meeting and session with a chiropractor, that she became aware of independent midwives and decided to meet with one, who instilled the confidence and the belief in her ability to birth her baby vaginally. Listen to how at 36 weeks, Kate began to prepare for her VBAC and how Florence's birth unfolds, and how she went on to have a water birth with her miracle baby George only 17 months after. So thanks, Kate, for coming on today to talk to us about your VBAC birth journey. So firstly, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you live, and who's in your family?
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from Scotland. I now live in Sydney. I've been here for just over 7 years. My husband, Scott, and I, we have a 10-year-old daughter, Elsie, and we've got Florence, who's four, and George, who's two. And our lovely dog Jet. So that's our busy family. and I'm a full time mum, so that's mm-hmm. they all keep me busy at the moment. That's what I do for my work.
I can relate to that. So let's get started with your VBAC journey. So can you please begin by telling us about Elsie's birth? What events led to you having a cesarean with her?
Yeah, so Elsie, everything during the pregnancy was absolutely fine. There was no complications. And the labor happened naturally, kind of, I think, just before her due date. So that was great. But unfortunately, it just, as I went into labor, I just kind of approached it. In hindsight, I think I approached it naively. I didn't really understand it very well, and I hadn't really done a lot of preparation for it. And I just kind of thought I could get through it myself and hadn't really. Yeah, and now I know more. I feel like I've learned so much. But at the time, you know, I just thought, yeah, I can do this myself and I'll be fine. And so I didn't really tell anyone when I had gone into labor. I just kept it to myself and just went into the bath. And I just hung out in there for a few hours. And then I came out and Scott was watching. He'd been watching a football game, so he didn't know anything was going on. And I said, oh, I think I might be in labor. But don't worry, you know, it's fine. I'll deal with it. And anyway, eventually I thought, right, we'll go to the hospital. And long story short, we got to the hospital and everything was kind of going okay. But after 12 hours of labor, I was still only 2 centimeters dilated. So it was just nothing was moving. Her head, the baby's head wasn't pushing down centrally on the cervix, so I just wasn't dilating.
Of course, sorry, Kate, then, can I just take you back a little bit? What were your contractions like before you got to hospital? Were you in active labor,
No, it didn't. I think in hindsight, no. I think, you know, now I have been through it more. I feel like I went too soon to hospital and then everything just kind of slowed down. And then, but having said that, the contractions did come back again. They were very intense and they were very quick, but there just was no progression. And then because the baby then became distressed, that was when the problems began. And they said, look, you know, you're nowhere near dilated enough to get her out. And her heart rate is dropping with every contraction. And so all of a sudden, it was very quickly decided that I was going to be having a cesarean, and that because I didn't have an epidural in already, that the quickest way was going to be to put me to sleep. That was the biggest upset for me, was that I was under general anaesthetic, and that my husband Scott couldn't be in the room when Elsie was born, so he had to be left out, and I was asleep, and you know, it's just, it's not ideal, obviously. Mm. Not what we had planned. But the main thing was, I immediately said to the doctors, you know, I'll let you do whatever you need to do. Obviously, that's what's best for the baby, and that's what we'll do. And that was fine. So, yeah, it was all a bit, it was tiring and traumatic and horrible, to be honest. It was not a nice way. But, you know, the main thing was Elsie came out healthy, and, you know, we were all fine. So that was that was my main concern at the time. Afterwards, I clearly remember the next day, the midwife said to me, you know, there's no reason that this would happen again. They said, this is just unfortunate. She wasn't pushing down centrally on your cervix, and therefore it didn't dilate. So they sort of didn't, you know, they didn't say to me, you'll never have a natural birth. They just said, this was, you know, this is the way this has gone, but it doesn't mean that it won't be like that again. So, you know, so that was kind of a good thing.
This is back in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, this was, in a NHS hospital in the UK, Pathway there is quite, I was quite lucky because I was in a small town and we had a community-led midwife team in the GP surgery. So I would go to the doctor, the local doctor, and I would see the midwife there, and it was generally the same woman. There was two women who kind of worked the shifts, and so it was either one of two women. But the problem is they don't deliver your baby. So when you actually go into labor, they're not involved at all. You then go to your nearest hospital, and then they, so basically I had never met any of the people involved in the delivery. But at the time, again, I didn't think anything of that. That I didn't even consider that as a problem. But now I can see how important it is the people around you are. And that, you know, that has been a massive learning curve for me. Through having Flo and George, I now know how key the people around you are. I felt like that, for me, that was really important. And especially for, I mean, someone like me who is, I'm very aware of, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are, but I'm conscious of other people. I'm always worried about other people. I'm always thinking, oh, am I, you know, is this okay? Am I allowed to do this? Is this, you know, so that kind of worrying stuff in my mind distracts from what your mind needs to be doing and what your body needs to be doing. And that's where I think the sort of physical aspect of that birth, where Elsie's head wasn't central on the cervix. I don't really know, but it's kind of jumping ahead into the Flo's birth story. Basically, I did see a chiropractor before Flo, and she did help me straighten up my pelvis in order to be ready for the baby to come down in the right way. So I think that little things like that, you know, if I'd have known before Elsie, maybe that would have helped.
So, it's amazing how your first birth really does have an impact on how you approach the next pregnancy and birth. So speaking of that, fast forward to Australia, I imagine. So you've moved to Sydney. Did you know before, or when you wanted to try to fall pregnant, did you know at this point that you wanted to pursue a VBAC?
Yeah, no, I hadn't, to be honest with you. I mean, our journey to conceive our second child, Flo, was not simple. So to be honest with you, the birth was the furthest thing from my mind, because we had a huge IVF journey in between the children. So that, I think that was much more consuming than anything. You know, I just wanted to conceive, and then it was like, you know, we'll get to over that bridge, and then once we cross that, then we'll, you know, way down the line, maybe we'll be lucky enough to consider a birth. You know, that's how it felt. It never was ever on my mind. But having said that, you know, as soon as you do conceive, and then finally, you know, it took us 6 years, but when we finally did, we were, I think I initially just thought, I'm just going to probably get a cesarean, because that's in my mind I was going, well, that's the safest, that's the easiest, practically it's easy, I can get my mum here at the right time and the right date, and you know, all those silly things that go through your mind that feel important, and they are important, you know, little things to know that Elsie was looked after and all of that kind of thing. That was starting to go through my mind as we got through further into the pregnancy, and we actually started to believe that we might be lucky enough to have another child and, you know, all of that kind of journey. And I remember going to see, I went to see some private obstetricians to talk about my options. And they said, I can remember clearly seeing one lady and she said, oh, you know, let's just, you know, you've had a hard journey to have this, conceive this baby. You know, why would you make it any harder? Why would you put it at any risk? And basically saying, why wouldn't you just have a cesarean? And I didn't really, it didn't sit well with me. I felt like she was really, you know, not really giving me a fair,
an assessment. Did
you
she,
know,
didn't talk about just, the risk versus of repeat C-section and also the risk of VBAC?
I can't remember the full, I can't remember if we discussed that. I can remember, I think at the time, it was quite early in my journey of the pregnancy, as in it was probably like, you know, 20 weeks or something, which was still early for me because I was still feeling very nervous about it all. And yeah, I didn't really do anything about the birth until quite late on because I just didn't really believe it was going to happen. And so I'd been going to the hospital and seeing the midwives there, and they were saying, look, it's your choice. It's your choice. You need to decide if you want to try for VBAC or cesarean. So that was why I went to see the obstetrician, just the private one, just to see what they said. But I quite quickly thought, no, I feel like she was really guiding me that way. And I started to think that wasn't what I wanted. But I still was very unsure and very, very nervous about it. I was very anxious about the same thing happening again that had happened with Elsie. It wasn't until 36 weeks. It feels crazy, but I still was completely undecided. And I spoke to so many people, you know, lots of friends who had every kind of birth experience. You know, I was listening to anyone's story, VBACs and unsuccessful ones, and, you know, people who had planned cesareans who said, oh, well, it's so much better than an emergency one, and all of this kind of stuff. And I was thinking, oh, well, you know, it was a really, really hard decision. And I did actually have they were concerned there might have been some placenta in the front of the cervix, so they weren't actually sure if I definitely could have a natural birth. So at 36 weeks I had a scan and they said, no, the placenta's not in front, you can choose, it's your choice, you'll be fine either way. So suddenly I had to actually make the choice. And coincidentally, one of the mums at school is a chiropractor, and she said to me one day, she said, oh, would you like to come and see me? I was saying I had some back pain, lower back pain and pelvis pain. And she said, oh, come and see me. So I went along, and it was her that said to me, you know, I talked to her about what had happened with Elsie and the positioning of the baby, and I was worried it would happen again. And she said, well, I can really help you get your pelvis in the right place and get you in line and get you ready so that you've got the best chance of the correct, like, birth path. And so I was like, well, that helps with that risk, and started to think. And then this chiropractor, she was amazing, and she put me in touch with an independent midwife, which is something I didn't even know existed. I had no idea about them. So she said to me, why don't you just go and talk to this lady, and she can give you a really good non-biased opinion, you know, she can help you, because I couldn't find anyone to do that. Everyone was just giving me theirs. You know, it's very hard. Anyway, I went to see this midwife, and she was just amazing. And she just gave me the confidence. I think that was the key thing. She just helped me believe that it could happen. And she also, there was an aspect of me that was very concerned about being separated from the baby. So if I ended up being in a cesarean situation, I had heard that the hospital I was going to have the baby in didn't have enough staff to keep you with your baby whilst you were being, like, post-operative, while you're being sewn back up. They had to take the baby, and it went, and although it could go with my husband Scott, I knew that, but I just really felt like this contact, the skin to skin contact, and the feeding, and that first hour after the birth was so important to me, because I'd missed that with Elsie. And so I just said, you know, is there any way that this independent midwife could come with me to the hospital and be there with me, and so that I could keep the baby with me in the worst case, you know, like she, and so that covered that. So they said, yes, that's great, she can be there. So again, that was another worry that was kind of put to the side. And so it was just about, for me, it was about just finding the things that really were concerning me and trying to find a solution for them, and, and you know, minimizing the risks of whatever it may be. The rupture was a really low concern for me because of the fact that I had had Elsie so long ago. I was like 6 years of, you know, I felt fully fit and strong. I hadn't had any trouble with my, I just felt like, you know, I had a very good chance of no rupture. It wasn't such a concern for me that, and in this case. So anyway, we, this with this midwife on board, with 36 weeks pregnant, we didn't have very long to get ready. So she was the one that said to me, you know, you need to come and do the CAM birth course with me, which she managed to squeeze us in the next weekend. And
amazing.
I think it was so good. And for as much as me, it was really helpful for me, but extremely helpful for Scott, because he hadn't really appreciated how important what a big role he could play. And neither had I really. This was because this course was so much about enforcing, you know, the love hormones and the, just being so surrounded by comfort and love and you know, keeping your, just letting your body do its job, just let your uterus do its job, just use the oxytocin as your, and as your pain relief, you know, and the importance of the breathing as well, just all that kind of, all that stuff I hadn't really placed so much emphasis on before. And I really learned a lot in that weekend, which was so helpful.
Absolutely. And it would have also put Scott's mind at ease, as you know.
His birth would have affected him in a way as well. Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I mean, throughout the journey with Flo, he was very much like, it's your choice. It's your choice. And again, I was saying, I need you to help me. I don't want it to be my choice. But yeah. But he, you know, was, and I understand, you know, nobody could make the choice for you, but I did really want him to be part of it. And he, after that weekend in the course, he suddenly did become very, very involved and very much focused on it as I was. And suddenly it was, you know, it was 2-3 weeks away, and, you know, we felt like, right, this is actually going to happen. We need to to get ready for this. So that was, it was lovely.
Sounds like your midwife really helped set the foundation for this birth. So you're getting now towards the very end of the pregnancies. Do you want to tell us how?
Yeah,
that unfolded.
Yeah, so that was actually, it was very close, because they'd said to me that I was not allowed to go overdue, and because of the, you know, the risk of the rupture and all this, the hospital was very keen that I didn't go too far overdue, and if I wasn't going to go naturally, they didn't want to induce me, because again, that risk increases the risk of rupture, which I was quite happy with. I agreed with that. I wasn't too worried about being induced, but so I did everything in my power to get going naturally. I was trying everything, you know, from acupuncture to raspberry leaf tea to hot curries, and, you know, you name it, we did it. and she just was not coming, and it got to the night before I was going in to have the cesarean.
Just to go back a bit, how did you come to the decision to have a cesarean booked in?
So it was a kind of a mix between the hospital, because obviously where I was delivering the baby was, it's a, you know, a public hospital, and they were so lovely, and they were very supportive of me having the independent midwife with me. But they, at the end of the day, the obstetricians were very much like, we don't want a big risk here. We are not willing to, you know, they were very, I'd say they were quite strongly against me going any, I think they let me go to, I think we went to 40+2 or something like that.
Really?
That was as
Only
far
that.
As they'd let me go. Yeah, it was very, it was not far. They were a bit anxious. So this is why I was desperately trying to get her out, like quick, trying to get things moving. And yeah, once it got to the night before, I felt so defeated, because I'd really, by this time, really invested. We even inflated a birthing pool in our front room, because I wanted to, the whole part of the whole birthing plan with my midwife was that I would be at home for as long as possible, because we felt very strongly, and I was you know, we knew I was going to be more comfortable at home. We knew that things were going to progress quicker at home. But, you know, the hostel was only 10 minutes away. So we knew that we needed to, at the right time, we needed to get there. And, you know, the home birth thing, I wasn't entirely against it, but I was also worried about that. So I, you know, that wasn't part of the plan, the home birth. But we did do the birth pool just so that I could labour as much as I could at home. Mm-hmm. So we had this whole room set up for, like, with fairy lights and a birth pool and candles and all this lovely stuff. And I went to bed the night before thinking, well, that was a waste of time. I'm not going to use it, and what a shame. And
yeah.
Anyway, it was about, it just ended up 11 o'clock at night. I started to get these waves and I thought, oh, you know, this can't be it. And suddenly, yeah, it was. And by, you know, the small hours of the morning, I was definitely contracting very regularly. So I phoned my midwife at like 6 a.m. because I was due to go to the hospital for 8. And I said, phoned her, I said, I think I might be in labor. And she said, yes, I'll cancel this. She couldn't wait to phone and cancel the operation.
Did she tell you at all that you could wait a little bit longer?
She was saying, yeah, she was definitely saying you could push it a little bit more. But I was trying to find a balance between the hostel and the midwives and my own mind as well. Because it's hard when you've got the obstetricians going, you know, saying, well, you shouldn't go overdue, you shouldn't be, you know, the risk goes up. And and also the inducing, I understood about that, you know, I was worried about that anyway. So yeah, it was a bit of a balancing act, to be honest, but the midwife that I was working with, she was so understanding about the situation. And she, luckily, she had previously worked up at that hospital in her career. So she knew a lot of the people there and she knew a lot of the obstetricians. And so she was really good at going between and just kind of like liaising and helping me to fight my corner a little bit, but also keep me, it was within reason because I was also very cautious. So, you know, I was, it's one of those where it was a balance, balancing my worries with the advice I was getting from everyone around me and what I felt comfortable with. So
yeah, and that's the most important, you have, like, to feel comfortable in the decision at the end of the day, isn't it?
And in hindsight, you know, I mean, it was just so lucky that we'd picked that date, we'd pushed it, we'd actually already asked them to go over a little bit, and that was, and it gave us the chance, and sure enough, it worked. I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
And the midwife had done a few, I just remember now, she did a couple of stretch and sweeps as well. Like for every few days leading up to the date, we were like going for it with everything. And she did all sorts. She was putting certain oils in there and all sorts. I can't remember what she was doing, but she was doing all this kind of thing.
But look, Florence just had her own, she had her own little trick up her sleeve, didn't she?
She had her plan. She had her plan, Miss Florence.
So you're laboring at home, I imagine, now, and you've called your
midwife. Yes, so the midwife came and she was just amazing. So we stayed at home through the night, I'd obviously labored a little bit, and then the whole day was just a beautiful day. I just remember being lying on my bed with my husband most of the time, he was there. My daughter went to school and the midwife was just downstairs. She would come up and check us every so often. But we just laid there and it was just the most amazing day. Oh, I feel like I'm going to cry remembering it. It was really beautiful. And then, things started to really progress by about 5 o'clock that night. So I started to really feel like that, you know, I might think about going up to hospital because they were getting a lot closer. But I have to say, as thinking about it, I remember through the day, there was a couple of times that the hospital, keeping in touch with them, letting them know the progression. And the obstetrician at one point asked to speak to me. And she did say, you know, I think you should come in. You're getting close. I think you should come in. And she was really quite forceful about me coming in. And I didn't really know what to say. I was kind of trying to go by my midwife. There was this kind of like bit of a tear between the midwife saying, no, let's keep you at home. And then the obstetrician saying, no, let's get her in. And it was all feeling a little bit, I can remember this phone call and I came off the phone and I said, okay, I'll come in as soon as I can. And then I came off the phone and I said to my midwife, I don't really want to go in. And she said, well, let's not go. They won't know, don't worry. And so we just kind of hid at home for a little bit longer. I think that was at about 3 o'clock. And then at about 5 o'clock, I said, okay, right, I'm ready to go. And we went up, and like I said, 10-minute car journey, which definitely did slow things down a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it just sort of took my mind off how lovely it had been. I mean, it changed everything, really. Mm-hmm. But my lovely midwife had gone ahead, she'd put all the lights down, she'd lit some candles, she got music on, you know, she made the birthing room really lovely, got the, you know, the ball ready and all the nice just things that we wanted to use. And yeah, so that was really lovely. And then it was all kind of quite from there. I think about 6 o'clock, I went in the shower, and then suddenly it all happened from there. And I said, oh, I'd like to get in the pool, but we didn't have time. It all just went so fast. And she was born, I think, about 10:30 at night, something like that. Mm-hmm.
Were you in the shower when she was born? Were you?
No, I came out of the shower just before she was born. I finished in the shower and came out, and then we had her in the just on like the mat on the floor. And the amazing thing was, she came out in her bag, and I was on all fours, so yep. I didn't get to see her in the bag, because literally as she came really quickly in a big whoosh. It wasn't like, because she was in the bag, I guess it wasn't like head and then body. It was one big whoosh of a big bag.
Yes.
With a baby in it. Which is just crazy. And so I didn't get to see. And then, but literally as they caught her, the bag burst. And then I turned over and then had her in my arms straight away. So just incredible.
Oh,
just, yeah. It was everything I could have ever hoped for, and more, even more. Oh,
amazing.
So yeah.
It's those immediate skin to skin. Did Scott hand Florence to you, or was it sort of done together?
I can remember. Yeah, I think he was definitely part of the catching team. Him and the midwife. My midwife caught her, and then I can't remember if he handed her or if she did. And then he cut the cord after we'd let it up. We wanted to leave it for a while. And then, and then she was just on me straight away. The only slight hiccup was I had a retained placenta, but that was, you know, to me it was insignificant because the birth had gone so well. I just didn't even care. But they did have to, you know, I've just remembered, they actually had to put me to sleep to get the placenta out. I completely forgot about that. Mm-hmm. But it was just, it felt like such an insignificant thing, because they didn't do it for quite a while. I had her with me, we fed,
so
we had, you know, it was absolutely fine. And then she was asleep, and Scott took her for me. And then they had to put me to sleep for like 10 minutes to just get, because they couldn't get the placenta out manually. They had to go in and, I don't know, hoover it out or something. I don't know what they did. But they got it out, and then I was able to go back with them. And and then we came home the next day at like 9 o'clock in the morning. It was amazing. It felt like exactly what I had hoped. I just think lots of things aligned. You know, we got really lucky. We got, I don't know, just all went as we could have hoped. So
no, it's amazing. I was just thinking that because Florence and Valeria are born on the same day.
Yeah.
So I was thinking of when you were going through all this, I was already, because I took that morning slot where you had the cesarean.
That's right. That's right.
It's amazing.
You got in.
I got in. It's, I love that they share the same birthday, and they're so.
Yes.
So obviously you felt elated after the whole experience with Florence, and I would imagine it was a healing experience for you.
Yeah, it was. I think it was. I hadn't really, I wouldn't have, I was always just very grateful that I had Elsie well. I didn't ever feel bitter about the cesarean, to be honest with you. I just felt like it was the right decision at the time, and I never blamed anyone, or I never thought that it was, you know, I just thought, oh, well, that's the way it went. But what I was very conscious of was not repeating it. And so, from that point of view, it was very much like, oh, that is such a relief that it didn't go as it had before. And, it really felt like just, you know, fate had stepped in and allowed us to meet the right people and make a plan that worked for us. you know, such an individual thing, you know, like what works for some people doesn't work for others. And that's the hard thing, is that's the journey, is like allowing yourself to find the right people and the things that work for you, which is so hard because there's so much advice, there's so many options, there's so many things to choose, and it's difficult to know what's right for you. So I guess you just have to be open to everything and hope that what comes your way is right. You're like, that's how I felt about it anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say next, you ended up having another VBAC with George.
Yes.
Do you want to talk us a little bit through that and how that VBAC also, whether how different it was to Florence's, if it was, if it wasn't?
Yeah. So, yeah, it was actually, I mean, when I say Flo's was absolutely amazing, well, George's was like off the scale amazing, because I got to finally get in the birth pool. I had him, I actually had him in the pool, in the water. So there was the only complication with George was that he was very close behind Flo, as you know. So they ended up there, they were 17 months apart. And so when I was pregnant with him and I went back to the hostel where I had Flo and I said, oh, I'm going to have another VBAC, I'm so excited. And they said, oh, wait a minute, this is a bit even more risky because the births are going to be so close together. Your uterus will not have recovered. The tear will be even more fragile than it was. The scar from the first cesarean will be even more fragile and risky to rupture. So this was all really upsetting for me to find out, because I just assumed it was going to be a straightforward, easy VBAC because I knew I had already done one. But yeah, unfortunately, they were not of that view. So they suggested that I go and have this baby in a different hospital, which had better, better facilities, you know, like, theatres right next to the birthing suite, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I ended up going to, it was a public hospital, but I went with a private obstetrician. I had my private midwife again, the same lady. I went back to her and I said, you won't believe it. Guess what's happening? And she couldn't believe it. And so she fitted me in and we went to, I didn't actually find out I was pregnant with George until quite late. Well, it was already 10 weeks because it was such a shock after
your journey to conceive
trouble with Flo. Yes, we didn't realize that George was even possible. The third was, we didn't think it was possible. So he was our little miracle. And yeah, we just, we went back to the same midwife and we found an obstetrician in this new other hostel who was specialized in VBACs. So he was very much pro VBAC, which was great. It was never really a conversation about having the cesarean planned. It was about how are we going to manage the risk and just be safe, you know, just be there just in case. He was actually brilliant because, you know, the whole way along I said to him, I don't want to see you at the birth. No offense, but I don't want you there. and he stuck to his words, and he stuck his head in, but I never knew he was there. And it was really good because I just didn't want him involved, not personally. It was just, I didn't want to, you know, accept that the cesarean was even an option. It was really just, he was there as a backup and if we needed him, and thankfully we didn't. So
yeah, and that's great that your wishes as well.
He was really good. Yeah, I think finding the right obstetrician now, having seen so many over the years, it does help to find someone who specializes in the VBACs because they're so much more confident with them and they understand the risk more and they're not quite so scared by it, you know. And I can understand so many obstetricians, they guide you towards the cesarean, and that's, you know, it's hard to know if that's the right thing or not because obviously they've got an interest in that. But I felt like, yeah, when you meet one that really is pro VBAC, it really, really helps because, well, for obvious reasons, you know, they are going to be in your corner trying to get the VBAC as best as you know, within reason, if it's safe.
Was he okay with you, with your desire to have a water birth, or did you not know that you were going to, was it something that was planned?
It was planned. I did say I really wanted it. He really was Keaton for me to be monitored throughout the labor. Mm-hmm. He wanted the
continuous fetal monitoring.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. He said that we could have it was like telemetry, so I didn't have to be wired up to anything, which was great because it was really good, so I could move really freely.
So how did your labor begin with George?
The labor with George was very different because I actually did have to have my waters broken because I think I was around my due date. I can't remember if I'd gone slightly over or not. I don't think I had. I don't think they were going to let me again. It was before my due date, but we hadn't got to the stage of booking a cesarean. I think it was maybe like a week away. And I actually ended up, I had some visual disturbance and some like strange confusion. It was like I had some sort of confusion and visual disturbance, and I phoned my midwife and said, look, something's not right. So we went to the hospital and my blood pressure was up, so they said, okay, let's just get going. They were just worried about preeclampsia, so we just decided we would break the waters there and hope that things would go ahead. And amazingly, they did. I couldn't believe it. They just broke the waters. I wasn't dilated. I was like, you know, 1-2 centimeters. I was getting the stretch and sweeps again, and I was like maybe two to three. And then they just broke my waters. And within an hour, I was starting to contract quite quickly. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. He was obviously ready to come. Yes. He was quite a big baby, and, you know, he was fully cooked, I reckon. He definitely was. So I labored from start to finish in the hospital, but it was really, because I knew what I was doing and I just knew I had to get into my own head and like focus on just not surroundings. And I just, Scott was there again. He was just mm-hmm. with me. We just cuddled for hours and just let it happen. Literally just let it all happen. And it was really within, I think they broke my waters at like 6 o'clock and George was born at about 10 o'clock. It was really fast.
In the water, did you find that it was, because you were birthing this time inside the bar, did you find that was a little bit better in terms of the feelings, the sensations?
Well,
was it still intense, I guess, but maybe?
Yeah, it was intense, but it definitely helped. The water helped so much. I mean, the shower had helped with flow, and then obviously I was planning for the bath, but never got there. And I didn't use any pain relief with her, but it was very painful and very intense when she came because of the speed she came at with just one push and she was out. Whereas with George, it was I was able to do just the head, and then we had some time in the water. The head was there. Mm-hmm. And then it took quite a long time. And then the next ones came and then his body came and definitely felt a lot more controlled, and I didn't tear anywhere near as much with George
I forgot to ask you actually with Flo, did you tear with Flo?
Yeah, I did. It was a big tear because she came out so in one, I think that was part of the problem. And then also because of they'd had to go in again and get the placenta out, and there's a lot of arms going in there, and I don't think that helped. That was not pleasant. There was quite a lot of stitches with Flo, but then with George it was just a few. It wasn't too bad at all, I think, because I had been in the water and because his head came first, and then we had that time, and it just felt very controlled, the birth, and not quite as much of a massive whoosh like Flo had been. Yeah, so even though he was bigger than her, it wasn't as difficult as painful. But when I say painful, I wouldn't really use pain as a word. That's not really the word I would use. I never, throughout any of the births, I would never say it was something I couldn't bear. It wasn't agony. It was just a sensation. It's an interesting thing. So yeah, I think with George, the water really helped with that, and I guess it takes the strain off your stomach as well. I don't know what it was. It was just great. Mm. It just lets your uterus get on with it. Yeah, I really like the water birth.
Awesome.
I think they must. I think that we had the monitor on in the pool. I must have done, but I can't remember.
Was but there whether a midwife, it was waterproof, there was there a midwife there just maybe just doing just checking every so often?
Yeah,
two worlds,
I think
not
they
realizing.
Were actually. I was completely in my own world. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was just letting them do whatever they had to do, and I was just concentrating on not getting caught up in it. You know, just staying in my little zone. Which, you know, once you know what you're doing with that, it really helps. Like once you get into that zone, and you just know how important it is to stay in it, it makes it so much easier. And when and you, as long as you know, because I knew I had Scott and I had the midwife, I 100% trusted both of them. You know what I mean? And that let me stay in that zone because I just never once thought about anyone else or anything else. I just, especially with George, I just was like, I'm just going to stay in the zone. And I think, I mean, I know it was my third, which would make it quicker, but I think that helped to just make, there was no time where it slowed down or, and it just went, you know, really gradually up and out. So it was very smooth. Yeah.
Beautiful. Did you do a chiropractor with George as well? Did you see a chiropractor?
Yeah, I went back. Cool. Yeah, I went back to see her again, and yeah, she was great. Yeah, same again, and she got positionings all good, and yeah, that was something. I don't know if everybody agrees with chiropractors. I think it's one of those controversial things, but she was. I fully trusted her, and she was really gentle. You know, there was never any horrible cracks or horrible things like that, but it was just really very gentle manipulation that just felt like it was getting my pelvis in the right place. And yeah, really interesting. It makes sense to me that you need to have the kind of mechanics in place for everything to go well. I mean, this chiropractor did talk to me about if you are slightly out of line. And it makes sense that your uterus then kind of creates almost like a twist. The muscles are kind of twisting rather than going in the downward, you know, notion. They need to obviously be pulsating down. But this, in Elsie's case, they were kind of almost would be almost like a torsion where they're just twisting and it's not allowing the progression. And it makes so much sense to me if you've got any kind of tightness in one side or, you know, slight imbalance. So... yeah, so that really, I thought it was worth seeing her. I'm glad I did. Whether it made any difference, we'll never know, but
you do what you feel. If it helped you with also Florence's birth, it's only natural to feel like I need to carry that on to my next pregnancy.
Yeah.
And obviously you had a very positive birth experience with Flo. And also with George. So imagine recovery-wise, we didn't really get to talk about. So what did you have for, what decree tears did they tell you you had with Florence?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think it was like all the way. I would say probably four. I think fourth degree, but I can't remember exactly.
Wow. How did you find the recovery with that? And also...
I was going to say that's the first time I would definitely use the word pain. They were really painful. There was, the stitches were. But having said that, very quickly healed. A few days of a lot of pain. And then it was amazing, actually, how quickly they healed. And, you know, in comparison to the cesarean, which, you know, I mean, I did get infections in some of my stitches. So that didn't help with Elsie. So I had, you know, obviously the general anesthetic through my body, and then obviously the major abdominal surgery and all of that on top of the brand new baby. It's just a horrible load to put on your body. And then I got home after a few days. I think I was in for 3 days, and then I got home and then started to get some really red inflammation in my wound, and then obviously got this infection, which that all just dragged on. And I don't know, it was months before I felt properly. I don't even think even months, I would say 6 months before you really feel that you've got your strength back. It's really, and that's obviously worst case, because I had the general anesthetic and I had the infection and all of that on top. But with Flo's birth, I mean, I was up that school pickup the next day with the new baby, and I just felt so amazingly good.
Yeah.
And, you know, yes, there was some pain when you went to the toilet and but the stitches just healed, and then they went out, then they were out, and then that was it, done.
And you felt and mentally great as well.
Well, yeah, that was a big, that really was like, I felt so happy. I mean, you sort of still have your hormones, and you still had that. Mm-hmm. I still had the day five crying and all of that. And obviously it's still hard, but it was just this kind of elation of having experienced what I did was just so special. I just felt like it had made up for what I missed out with Elsie, because, you know, I've never been somebody who ever felt strongly about having a natural birth. I really didn't, and until I felt like I might not be able to, and then suddenly I thought, no, I really want this. And I think because I really thought Flo was my last chance, I really didn't think I was going to be able to have another baby. And so it felt like if I didn't try with Flo, well, I would never know, and I would never, you know, all of that was in there as well, that questioning. And I'm so thankful that I did, because I did have the lucky experience where, you know, it's something that I'll treasure forever, and I'm so grateful to have experienced it.
I think we've covered everything.
Yeah.
I think we have. Thank you so much, Kate, for coming on to the podcast and telling your stories there. I found them inspiring.
Thank you for inviting me.
And I have to say, you were the first person I had met that I knew had a VBAC when we were introduced that very first day in Mother's Group.
So
I was only 4 weeks postpartum after having a cesarean with Valeria. I remember thinking, when you told me you'd had a VBAC, my eyes lit up, and I thought, oh, well, I'm so interested in doing that for the next child.
That's
and
amazing thinking, that you knew so quickly.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mel. That was lovely.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this VBAC story. If you like the show, please subscribe and feel free to leave a review. If you would like to connect with us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for VBAC Birth Stories. If you have a question or you'd like to express interest in sharing your personal story, email us at vbacbirthstories@gmail.com. VBAC Birth Stories is a podcast where we share women's lived experiences. Please be advised that it's not intended to replace medical advice. If you have any concerns at all during your pregnancy, please always speak to your healthcare provider.